Hey pals, and welcome to another episode of We Read It One Night. We're celebrating Autism Acceptance Month this week with listener suggestion Always Only You by Chloe Lease. This grumpy sunshine, own voices hockey romance will have you kicking your feet and hiding your smile with how cute and cozy it is. I'm joined by guest host Elodie, aka the person without whom this podcast would not exist, so super excited to have such a celebrity this week. In this episode, we fangirl over minivans, hypothesize about a secret matchmaking and mildly violent secretary subplot in this book, and talk about our favorite romance novel microtropes. Support the pod with a rating and review, and a stop over to our Etsy shop and patron pages, both linked in the description. Enjoy the show! I am here today with an extremely special guest, particularly insofar as it pertains to this podcast, because this podcast would not exist with the person who's here today. I've talked about you. I don't know that I've ever said your name, just because like I tend to edit out people's names for privacy. But I'm here joined by Elodie, who is the person, the infamous, famous person who chose The Viscount Who Loved Me for a book club in March 2020 and set us on this path. So Elodie, welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, I'm honored to be here. I am so excited to talk about books with you. I've always loved talking about books with you, but now especially romance novels. I am an avid listener and I'm hyped.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on, especially because a lot of my guest hosts are like, they say it every episode. It's really funny. All of them feel the need to be like, yeah, I don't really read romance. Like, blah, blah, blah. No. Like every single, so I'm like, I have someone who reads romance. I've had a few other ones.
Die hard. Yes. I am so excited. Romance should be getting the respect it deserves.
Yes. And yes.
Let's talk about it.
Yes. I'm so excited. So we today are talking about Always Only You by Chloe Lease, which is a listener suggestion. So thank you, listeners, for suggesting this. And this is also coming out during Autism Acceptance Month. So happy Autism Acceptance Month, which is why we're doing a book that features an autistic heroine and is also written by an autistic woman, and was one of the books that I read and then was like, I relate a little bit too much to this character, and eventually led me to get my diagnosis. And now it's funny this time. So the character Frankie she's autistic. She also has rheumatoid arthritis. And this time I was like, I've already got the autism, but now I was like, I don't know. Some of my joints have always been weird. I was like, and do I also?
Is this book single-handedly helping you solve?
Is this voice doing more for me than any doctor has ever done?
It's, I mean, if that isn't being someone in the modern American health system, I don't know what is. But I'm so glad that this book has like shaped you so much. And that is, that's so special. So how was it rereading after that experience of reading it and kind of having it as a guide? Mm-hmm. What is it like now with what you know about yourself?
It's funny because in terms of like the autistic stuff, I noticed a lot more of the differences between me and Frankie. Like there's a part where she's like, I'm sensory seeking. And I'm like, I'm the opposite. Like I'm not sensory.
You're Ziggy.
Yeah. I think it's because like before I was like, oh, I didn't really like know any of that stuff about myself. And so I was just like, you know, you always kind of look for the similarities between yourself and characters, just like in general, regardless. Yes. But now I was like, oh, that's not my experience. And I also have a bad habit of particularly of thinking about like how much of the character is the author. Like when I know that the author is like writing an own voice, like from the experience, I'm like, is this what Chloe Lease experiences? And it's like, so like not my business at all.
I was curious about that too, reading the acknowledgments at the back and then also knowing that I haven't read it yet, but Ziggy's book being out and that also being a different representation.
Yeah. I really like Ziggy's book, by the way.
Do you? Okay,
I
good.
I like Ziggy's book a lot.
I've been saving it for a rainy day when I really need it.
Yeah. These books are such like cozy comfort
They
books.
are so cozy. They're just so loving. I think the thing that I love about her books is it's so much about like your own inner work and that like love is a part of a healing process, but it's not the entirety of a healing process. And I love that A, you experience that like within the love story, but then also tracking each sibling and seeing their growth book to book, even if it's subtle. I just think that's beautiful.
And this book really sets up a lot of like all the other siblings' stories, like all of them.
Which is both my love and issue with this book. That,
Interesting.
like, I, upon rereading it, realized how little we know about Ren. Like, we are given so little about what makes him tick. We have nods to what happened in his past, but we don't have a lot of experience with it. And we don't get his sibling dynamics the way that we do in the other books. And I don't want to, like, reference the other books because listeners may not
No,
have
no,
read
no,
them,
no, yeah.
but I feel like sometimes I walked away knowing more about Ziggy or Axel or even like Freya and Aiden than I did about Ren.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I wonder how much of that is just like, she's like, I got like, what is it, 7 books? Like,
Yes, exactly. They got to team up. And I love their dynamic as a couple. Like, I don't feel like it's lacking in that way. I totally feel their love and their growth together. I just don't track as much of Ren's individual growth as I do Frankie's in this
Yeah,
book.
no, I definitely see what you mean. I also, it's funny because I also haven't read the first book. This is the second book in the series, listener. I haven't read the first book. I think because Rachel read it and said she there was something about it she like wasn't a fan of. And it was something that is something in books that I like can either really like or like absolutely despise. And I was like, you know, I like the rest of Chloe's books. Like, I don't really want to ruin the series for me by potentially reading the first book that I don't like. So this book is like the setup, whereas like it's technically the first book. Like, I don't know how much the first book sets it up, actually.
Well, no, it's so funny because I this was the first book in the series that I read too, and then went completely out of order because I think I read Ever After, Always Next, and then jumped. But the first book is really heavy, and that's where like tonally they're just two different books. And I can see as a writer why she'd go lighter in this book in some aspects if she came with a heavy writing experience in the book before.
Yeah, so we're doing Always Only You, and it stars Frankie and Ren, like we were saying, and it's the second book in the Bergman Brothers series, which is a like Swedish, what is it, Swedish American family. They're all athletic, which is very foreign to me.
Big same. Yep.
Yeah. And it's also a hockey romance. And hockey romances are my sports romance weakness because they're the only sports romance, like they're the only like sports where I'm like, oh, like I can actually like get behind it. I'm like, oh, this would actually be entertaining to watch. Like, oh, I could be with a professional hockey player, like blah, 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 blah.
Ooh.
But then I also remember that like hockey has one of the highest percentages of TBIs. Like, so like
Yeah.
Ren's like the sunshine character now, but like he gets a concussion in the book and mentions getting concussions in the past. And I'm like, okay, so like when Ren is 50, he's gonna have a lot of issues because of
Yes.
all these traumatic brain injuries. And I felt so
Yes.
horrible thinking about it, but I'm like, we just really never acknowledge this.
No. And like, I mean, it's and the repeated headaches, and we'll get throwaway lines where it's like, oh, I have the heated bed pad because my muscles hurt after practice. Like, we'll have references to athletes being in pain, but not the long-term effects that I feel like we should maybe be getting reference to about like what life is like after pro sports. I guess he's young in his career, but like,
No, but it's still, yeah, because in the book, he's like, I've recently started getting regular bad headaches. I'm like, oh,
yes.
sir, I think it may be time for retirement before it's too
Yes.
late.
This is like a dun 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 thing.
That's not a happily ever after. Yeah, that's why, like Taylor Swift is with Travis Kelce, who is like a big sportsman, football player guy, and everyone's like, oh, they're so cute together. He's so nice, and I just like can't help. I'm just like. Part of me is like, is Taylor Swift going to be the one to find the cure for like this disease that is like football players because she's so rich and her husband's going to get it?
So that's part one, but I actually have a related theory. So I grew up Wisconsin, so Packers fan. There's nothing else to do in Wisconsin but watch football. And
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory that Taylor Swift dating Travis Kelce being in the limelight as the effects of TBI start to come out, you're going to have a whole slew of people who are watching these people and seeing the effects, and they're going to stop putting their children in football. And I think we're going to see like the slow drying up of the football professional pipeline,
It would be
and it's going to go to
wonderful.
a different sport. It would be great. Look, soccer also has its issues. I think there's some stuff going
Yes.
on where like they're trying to regulate headers or something. I don't watch
Yeah, that
soccer. I
like
don't know the
kids can't
terms.
do headers. Yeah, I think I've
Yeah, for
seen
the
that.
same reason. And so I wonder if we're just going to start, like, if there's going to be renewed pressure or attention on it because of Taylor Swift dating like a professional player. I'm really hopeful.
I think so. Because there already is that movement. Like I think I read some article that like so like school football is like really big in like Texas, right? And how like a lot of Texas schools are doing like, tag only football, but like they're only doing it until like 12. And then they're like, yeah, after 12, it's totally fine for these children with developing brains to get a shit ton of injuries.
Look, so at my high, I went to like a small high school, and the highlight of our year over year was homecoming week, where we did
Oh,
Powerpuff football.
yeah.
And so the grades played against each other. And every year, a girl would tear her ACL,
Oh
and
my
someone would like end
God.
up with a concussion, to the point where the other coaches, like of all the sports, were like, my people aren't allowed to play
Oh my
anymore
God.
because of that. Like, because it was only like touched like flag football, and people were getting brutalized. Like,
That's insane.
and those are, I mean, like 14 to 18 year olds. We're big enough. Like, we're not big
No.
enough, but we're big. But like a little 12 year old taking a full body hit.
Yeah, so the whole time I like hockey romance and it like but I have to be very delusional about it because like I can't the intrusive like this man is going to have early onset dementia and also like violence problems in 20 years like
Okay, so however, I do. So now let's play the game of should it have been in the book? Because I think there are two arguments that there should have been nods. One, Ren's dad is a doctor, and there could have been like some like whatever. And then two, like as Frankie is sharing about herself and her own fears and insecurities of what the future is going to look like for herself, he could also be sharing his insecurities about what's going to happen to him post-retirement and like with his own body. And that like sharing of intimacy and like sharing of what a future actually looks like for them in like a concrete way.
I think that would have been really interesting and it would have added some depth to Ren's character that we didn't necessarily get because I mean, he's at like the top of his game right now. So he's like not really considering at all, which makes sense, like that a person would have that mindset. But from like a romance, happily ever after, these people are going to spend the rest of their lives to each other with each other standpoint. Like,
Because I guess I really love jumping between the Bergman books, so you should stop me. But then is it
no.
Oliver's romance, who is with his teammate who just retired, and like what
Yeah, the
that
Roy
experience looks
Kent.
like?
It's gay Roy
The
Kent.
Roy Kent. Yes, gay Roy Kent. And like that captures, it's also a Sunshine Grumpy like romance, but it captures out like what happens after. And you don't need all of that, but just like a little in the back of your pocket.
A little
But
sprinkle. But I mean, I guess we do get that story, right? So we don't
yes, we
necessarily
do.
need that story twice.
Right. Yes, exactly. No, and it's like essential to him that he's an optimist. And so you need that.
Right,
That
he
can't be
is.
tempered.
This is very much like textbook Grumpy Sunshine. Frankly, I prefer when the woman is the grump. Like if it's Het Grumpy Sunshine, like I vastly prefer this dynamic because I think it's so funny. And also like it's more me. Like I would definitely be the grump.
The grump. But also sometimes like when the woman is the sunshine, like it can turn into manic pixie dream girl territory, where it's like, okay, add some depth here. And so I like that, like,
So it doesn't turn into like, but daddy, I can fix him. Like,
yeah, that is the
that's what
issue
it
where
turns
it's like
into.
that's what it turns into. Not always, but like that is when it's done wrong. And he never needed her to be an optimist. That's what I liked. Like, he let her be a grump and appreciated that about her.
Her nickname is Frank the Crank, which is
Frank
honestly
the Crank.
iconic, like
It
among
truly
the
is. I hope whoever came up with that on this fictional
authors.
team was patting themselves on the back.
Yeah, excellent. Frankly, an
Excellent
ex
choice.
frankly, an
Frankly,
ex
great choice.
excellent name. Yeah, so Ren is the, I don't think we mentioned, so obviously Ren is the hockey player, and then Frankie is the social media manager for the team, which I guess is a high-paying job. I don't know. That in the back of my mind, I was thinking, like, how does she live alone on the beach in LA? Like, she doesn't own. So at first I
No.
thought she owned her house, and I was like very skeptical, but then we get that she does rent it. And so I was like a
Yes.
little more realistic, but I was like, ma'am, how much money realistically? Maybe I should look this up.
I wonder what the salary is. And like, she rents, she lives alone. And I guess, and she's
Yes.
only 25. She's only like, she's 26. She's like 3 years into her career, 4 years into her career.
Yes. And she has, and I mean, not to be, but like she does have disabilities. So she has like a yoga instructor that's coming to her house. And like, I doubt insurance is paying for that, like.
I will also say the last thing is that she's like, I'm gonna quit my job and take a few months before I go to law school because I
That's
have a nest egg
insane.
saved up. So not only that, but she has like
That's
enough of a nest egg
insane.
to pay rent. It's bonkers to me.
Maybe she inherited just like a shit ton of money because her dad died when she was
Oh, her dad
12.
died.
So maybe she just like got a shit ton of money.
I think it's implied that they don't come from money. It's implied
Yeah,
that
I
they
thought
all
she was
live,
like
it's like an
very middle
intergenerational apartment in
class.
Queens. Her
Yeah.
dad was a firefighter.
A sports social media manager, the top earner is 95,000. The average is 64.
Oof.
So, and like 95,000 in LA?
It's not gonna get you that far.
No. Not on the beach. Not on the
Not on the
beach. She's not getting
beach.
a beach bungalow with a
No,
$95,000 salary.
with a dog that eats fresh food only.
Oh, right. She makes all of her dog's meals, which I
Yes.
was like, I feel like I know I should. That's the probably what I should be doing for my cats, but
Yes.
like, can't do that.
I know. We're in like figuring out what breed of dog we're gonna get mode. And that's like part of it is like how much food is it gonna eat? Like I grew up with massive dogs. They eat a lot of
They
food.
eat a lot.
But wait, but this reminds me that it is absolutely, if we're going to go with things that are totally out of the realm of possibility here, why does she have a Malamute Husky mix in LA where it
Oh
is
yeah, I didn't. I
70
try not
degrees
to think of
out?
that. It always makes me sad.
Who's constantly on the beach? Paza, is it Paza or Patsa?
Patsa, I think Patsa.
Patsa, adorable dog.
Adorable.
Must be so hot. So
Yeah. And like she never gets like an ice bath or anything.
no.
The Pacific Ocean is very cold. It's a lot
Cold.
colder than the
Yes.
Atlantic, so maybe she gets like run in a lot.
Yes. And I'm sure if Ren lives in a very, very fancy house, he has air conditioning, even if it's not standard
Yeah.
over there, so they can keep her nice and cool. But
Yeah.
that stuck out to me. Well, I'm glad I know what a social media manager makes now in LA.
95,000.
This is 95,000. It's never the
I
number that you
mean,
think it's going to be.
that's still like almost double what I made like as an editor in New York City. So
I don't know why I had it in my head that she was going to be making like $200,000 working for
yeah,
presumably a
no.
team that's top of their game. They won a Ryder, is it a Ryder Cup when in
Stanley
hockey?
Cup,
Stanley Cup. Okay.
right? I think it's the
I
Stanley
think
Cup.
so. I think you're right.
What's the Ryder Cup is golf, isn't it?
I think you're right.
Or am I
This
making that up?
goes to show how much I know about sports.
I am not a sports person. Oh no. When you search Stanley Cup now, it's just the bottle. It's just the
It's just
water
the cups.
bottle. It's just the cup.
No.
Okay, it is hockey though, the National Hockey League
Okay.
playoff championship. But yeah, when you search Stanley Cup, it's just
Just the
the water
bottles.
bottles, which is funny. I wonder
That
whether there's
is.
like a movement, an underground movement among like hockey fans.
There's got to be an FCO freak out there who is like scheming in the back end on how to get this back. It's just.
Maybe it's Frankie.
Maybe it's Frankie.
Frankie
Maybe
knows about
Frankie.
SEO.
She knows everything. She single-handedly is just on it all the time. I don't know how she's so on it.
Yeah, that's insane.
I would be so frazzled. Good for her. But it like works with her personality. She's just like so
Yeah.
like down to business.
She's like, what is she? To bring back Ted Lasso, she's like Keely. She's like the Keely of
Yes.
their team, I
She
guess.
is. She can just like totally hang with everybody and get everything done and stay cool and calm and collected.
Yeah. Wait, so that makes me think now that I think that she's Keely, because she also organizes them to like do like charitable outreach and like photo ops.
Yes.
So I feel like she's more than just social media. Like she's definitely like a probably a PR like exec. I mean, she's still very young to be a PR exec, but
Yeah.
like,
They reference having other people on the PR team. So she must be like either managing people or like at a high level where she's doing both. Like she's in. Yeah. And like, is she managing the individual PR for the players as well as the team? And like, does that change it? Like increased
yeah. Well,
scope.
she does. She does. We get an indication that she does give them like instruction, like training, like media
Yes.
training on like how to act on social media. I don't know if it,
Yeah.
I don't think it's like one by one, but like, yeah.
She's coaching them through it.
Yeah.
Frankie is a badass. Is.
Frankie, I would like you to coach me. That'd be great.
Yes,
Like to know,
please.
teach me your secrets. I just realized Frankie's younger than me. I just realized I'm now the age where I'm like starting to be older.
I was going to say that has been the thing that has thrown me in the last year is I am now older, especially when I read historical romance. I am much
Oh, well,
older than the heroines. And
that
that
was
throws me.
always, I was like, I'm just gonna assume that's the
Just
complete, they're
pretend that they're all
aliens. No,
28. Yes,
they're not.
exactly. You're 19. No, you're 28
What are
now.
you talking about?
No. You have fully developed your brain and you are of the age of consent and you have options. Go. Yes.
Weird, because I'm like, you're like finding this person you're gonna commit to, like you're committing to this person for the rest of your. I was like, I cannot imagine that.
Neither of them have really, actually, though, aside from Axel and Freya, like that is the thing for all of the Bergman siblings. Like they all find their significant other really young,
Fairly young.
fairly young, under
Yeah.
25, which is, it's interesting. Like,
Interesting.
because the first book almost is YA, and that like they're in college.
Yeah. Oh, I think that was also part of the reason that I started with this book first, because I was like, I don't really want like a new adult.
Yeah, new adult. There we go. Yeah. It's interesting. But then even to the point of their experiences with having relationships or like the depth of the relationships and each to their own decision for what was right for them, but like they're choosing each other after not really.
Not having, I mean, Ren is a virgin,
Ren is a virgin.
which I really liked. I really like when the guy is a virgin. Like
I do too.
I
He's such a,
it's
he's just a
so
cinnamon roll.
sweet. Yeah.
He's
And
so
he's never had a
sweet.
serious relationship,
No.
which I'm like, I know that you can, you absolutely can like marry the first person that you date and like it can work out really well. But like
Yeah.
he seems pretty well adjusted. Like his family seems like pretty communicative, healthy. So like I
Yes.
guess that helps.
Well, that's exactly it. And then I also think back to if he started pro when he was 22, and that's when he met Frankie, like he was waiting for her. And so he didn't want to date seriously because he was holding out, which like adds to the romance where it's like, no, he's like held on to this person for like a reason and for so long, which makes the payoff really sweet. Yeah. That being said, can I have a gripe about him losing his virginity? We're not in his head at all. So we don't know what that was
Yeah,
like for
that
him
was
emotionally.
weird.
I wanted like the what was that like for, we knew what it was like for Frankie to like be entrusted with that, but we didn't know what it was like for Ren to share that experience with her.
When there's those kind of scenes, I always like when it's, I like when it's split over two chapters. When it's a book like this that's structured of like
Yes.
each chapter is one POV. I like when the scene is split between two. Like we start out in one and then like we'll end in the other ones, particularly
I
when it's a
agree.
scenario of one of them has far less sexual experience than the other
Yeah.
one.
Well, and it's part of like Ren's emotional journey through the book too
Yeah.
is like realizing this piece of himself. Like missing that, I think, was a miss for me. I want more.
Yeah.
Give me all of his
Yeah.
emotions, please. Yeah.
Please. Well,
Please.
yeah, because it's interesting because I realize like Ren is based on like how he kind of talks about it. I feel like Ren is very coded as being on like the asexual spectrum, like maybe
Yes.
demisexual, because he's like, I feel sexual urges. I've just like never really felt the need to like go there with someone, you
Exactly.
know.
And that like the utmost, what was the utmost importance to him was that romantic connection and like
Yeah.
emotional connection. And so even just knowing more about, not that you need to be explicit or share any more about that, but like then share what that payoff is for him. And like
Yeah.
how does that change their relationship after the fact, other than like a release of tension,
Right.
which she hints at?
Right.
We've had this conversation, and this is general in the romance world, but like each sex scene should serve moving the plot forward and exploring who the
Yeah.
character is. And I think some of
Yeah.
my feelings about, I will say I love this book. I just have like little things, is that some of the sex themes seemed not to serve that, if that makes
Right.
sense.
The sex scenes felt very inconsequential a lot of the times. Like I think they were well done,
Yes.
but yeah.
They're not cheesy. Like they're definitely like true to the characters, but there's places where she could have taken it further. Like, I don't know like how explicitly you get into this, but like when Frankie was saying, like, I want you to be rough with me, like there's an
Yeah.
interesting dynamic there where she doesn't want to be handled with kid gloves. And that's a big part of her
Yeah.
relationship. And like I want to then see that land with Ren. And I guess that's
Yeah.
just like that's what you trade off when you do the dual perspective, or like it's
Yeah.
just one chapter, but
Yeah, where you don't like mix in, yeah,
you don't
between
mix
the
in.
chapters.
No.
Yeah, it's just like a writing choice.
It's just a writing choice. But it was something that like that made sense to me. Like that scene then worked for me because I was like, aha, this is like that exploration of who she is.
I was very much like from the start, I was like, Frankie is a dominatrix. Like I was like,
Yes.
I would love, like there's absolutely no way that, I mean, speaking as an autistic girl, she probably doesn't get dressed up in like leather because like that's super uncomfy, but some
Yeah.
sort of like sensory friendly version of like a dominatrix leather outfit.
Yes.
Like they absolutely do that, and he absolutely
Ren.
calls her mommy and like, you know.
Oh, the cane is there. Like Ren is laid out
Oh.
on the floor.
Oh,
And rather
yeah.
than like a boot, it's the cane. And like he
Yeah.
loves it.
Yeah.
Yes. Which also works for their dynamic. I guess this is like the thing where it's like when a book works, it's as this one does, it's like we know where the dynamic can go and like how that will continue to develop throughout the relationship. I love the idea of Frankie like bossing him through a yoga class and
Oh, yeah. Oh. I would love for her the same way that Julia Quinn did like the Bridgerton Happily Ever After, she did like the bonus epilogues. I would love Chloe
yes,
Lise to do bonus epilogues because they
she
don't
did.
have. Wait,
In
what?
the print, in the new print versions, yes. Okay, so this is the other thing. New print versions are out,
No.
and there's a bonus epilogue. Oh my God. Oh, I will be sending
Oh
this to
my God.
you.
Wait, what
It is
happens? What happens in
okay.
bonus epilogue?
Frankie proposes to Ren. It's
Oh.
beautiful. It's 3 years later, and they wear this whole like get up disguise thing so they can go to Shakespeare in the Park in LA, and they see Romeo and Juliet. So it's a
Oh.
callback to the hand scene. And then she's like, aha, you can take off your disguise. We're gonna go up on stage and look around. And then she proposes. And then they go home and then they have sex. And the sex is like, you could have ended it after the proposal. But it was
We always want a
beautiful.
little extra sex.
This was like a little fun. It's a little sprinkle on
That's
top.
so cute.
Isn't it
Oh, I feel
adorable?
like I did know that they, because I knew they were doing the extra edition, the new
Yes.
editions.
So now I'm gonna go buy all the new editions because I'm
Oh,
gonna run up to
that's
Barnes and Noble.
amazing. I may go
I
to Barnes and
know.
Noble and just like sit and read the
And read
epilogues
them.
and not feel
Yes.
like I
Do
can't
it.
afford. I'm too poor. I'm sorry. But I will support the book on the podcast.
Yes. Well, because there are, she added a author's note to the beginning about her experience with authenticity writers and changes because of J.K. Rowling. And there were a few line changes. We need to talk about
So I
that.
wanted to
Yes.
ask you about that, yeah.
Yes. There's a whole note about that. And then the epilogue at the end, which is beautiful. And otherwise, there weren't too many changes. So.
So, listener, what happened? I don't know if you guys know. Like, she was, these books were originally self-published. And then, as has been the trend of late, publishing companies see really popular self-published authors and they're like, can we acquire your rights for lots and lots of money? And self-published authors say, yes, I would like lots and lots of money. And I don't have to do any additional work, basically. So, like, sure, take my book and slap a new cover on it.
Yep.
And so Chloe Lee is republishing. What is it with Berkeley? I think Berkeley is doing these books.
Berkeley, yes,
Is it
Berkeley's doing these books.
Berkeley? Yeah. So.
Yes. And it's I'm glad that she is getting the reach that she deserves, because
Yes.
for the longest time I've been like, why is no one shouting about her? She's wonderful. And to your point, she's just so warm and cozy and does so many different experiences and perspectives. You know the characters deeply by the end. So I'm very glad she's republishing. And
Yes, I'm
it's
very
interesting to
excited
see
for
what's
her to get oodles and oodles of cash.
oodles of cash. I hope this takes off with the hockey romance trend.
Hopefully, although they're kind of, that fandom is
Is it weird?
kind
I don't,
of.
are they the ones that got like sued on TikTok or got in trouble on TikTok for
I don't know
harassing
whether they got
Chloe?
sued, right? They were harassing. Yeah, there was like this one person, this one creator on TikTok in particular, who was being like really weird. And then like the wife of one of the players was like, hey, can, this is making me like uncomfortable. Can you guys like lay off a little bit? And she like quote unquote called the wife out, but everyone was like, no, you're wrong. Like this is
Yeah.
weird that you're doing this. Yeah. Yes, that was
You're taking it to a weird place. Yeah.
the hockey on TikTok.
Okay.
I don't know how they
Okay.
are elsewhere. I don't want to make generalizations, but like there was a very loud sect of hockey TikTok, hockey romance TikTok that was being very weird.
See, this is so interesting to me because I've never read hockey romance other than this, and then this graphic novel series, Check Please. Which is like a YA graphic novel series where it's very cute, and it is not of that, it is not that target audience. So we have not engaged.
Okay. So let's talk about, listener, we're going all over the place. Let's talk about, so the Harry Potter stuff, the J.K. Rowling stuff. So Harry Potter is a huge part of this book, a huge part of Frankie's character. Like that's one of Harry Potter's, one of her special interests. She's has a cane that she named the Elder Wand. She does spells very on multiple times throughout this book, which I was felt, even just like apart from the fact that it's Harry Potter, I was like, okay. She wears like Harry Potter underwear. She quotes it. They do like their houses, all of that. And we do get the audiobook. I wanted to know how much changed between. So the audiobook edition I was listening to, as I'm pretty sure the original. I don't know whether they redid the audiobooks for the re-release or whether they just did. I couldn't find like a Berkeley audiobook. So I think the audiobooks are the only ones that exist, or the original ones. And so we there is like a throwaway line at the beginning where they're like, J.K. Rowling is like the author was being stupid on Twitter, blah, 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 blah. But other than
Yes,
that, Harry Potter
that
is
is in
like
this.
big part. And I didn't know how much she cut out or like, you know.
She kept it. From what I can tell, she kept it all. She might have trimmed some of it out. Let me even look at the story. Also touches on, lastly, the story includes a number of references to the wizarding world that was once beloved by many, but is now sullied by its creator's capacity for harm against the trans community. That harm is vehemently condemned by me and in this narrative. And since this story's original publication date in 2020, I no longer use any Wizarding World references in any of my books. I, with that being said, I'm really surprised she didn't edit it to a different fandom.
Yes, I was surprised too. And I initially, the fact, I think, so it was really interesting. I read this book, and I remember the first time I read this book, I wasn't a big fan of it, actually. And I think it was because of the Harry Potter, and because I was just really, I was in a place where like any time that was mentioned. And like, listener, I want to say, like, I am an autistic millennial woman
who had a hyperfixation on the Harry Potter fandom. Like, I have won cash prizes for, like, Harry Potter trivia tournaments. Like, I've made my family Weasley sweater, like, hand knit. I gave myself carpal tunnel hands knitting my family Weasley sweaters. Like, I was in it. I am Frankie in this respect. So I don't say this as someone who doesn't understand, like, how special Harry Potter is for a lot of people. But the first time that I read this, I think that I didn't like it because of how the Harry Potter references, and because I was reading it in, like, 2021, I think. I was, like, already at a point where I was like, why are people including Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I did, when I was rereading this, I did, like, go into the timeline because I was like, I know Chloe Leese, like, both in her books and, like, on social media and everything, to be someone who is, like, a good ally. Like, and I think she may be a queer woman herself, but I could be wrong. So I was like, it's weird that she would include this. So I did, the timeline does, like, J.K. Rowling started going absolutely bananas in July 2020, which was when this book was first published. Like, this book was published, like, maybe a few weeks after, when she, like, really went, like, she'd been, like, J.K. Rowling had been, like, sprinkling some transphobia, like, in the years prior, but, like, it really became, like, a well-known global thing in July 2020. So I was like, I can give some leeway for the, like, initial publication, which is why I was curious as to whether any of it had changed in the repub.
Yes. No. I guess to this point of, should it have been taken out, or should she be more vehement in her denial of it? Like, I think it needs more than a throwaway line if you're going to include it. Like, have more of a conversation around it of, like, you know, this means something to me for XYZ reason.
Yeah.
This thing sullied it and is, like, making it hard for me.
Yeah.
Something.
And I was paying attention, and I was like, I wouldn't say it would be easy to edit it to be a different fandom, but it would certainly be possible, and it wouldn't be that. Like, I was thinking, I was like, you could even make it, like, I was like, even Lord of the Rings, like, whatever the sword is could be what her cane is called. And, like, she shouts famous quotes, like, you shall not pass, instead of, you know, whatever, like, spells she does. I was like, it would have been possible. I understand the decision not to do it, because it's not just, like, one line here or there.
It's so funny, because that's where my brain went to, was Lord of the Rings. And you keep her connection to, like, fantasy as a genre.
To nerd culture, you know, like,
to nerd culture, exactly. Like, this fandom where she can then connect with Ren over being nerds. It is, like, and that is, like, I was curious with the republish, if that, where the pressure is, or, like, where the decision is made. Just because I'm not as familiar with publishing.
I mean, it absolutely would have been possible. And I'm sure that they had this book, at the very least, would have gone through a second copy edit when it was traditionally published. The editor absolutely, because it's such a big part, there's absolutely an argument for it and against it. And we have talked at length, like, when we've talked about the Wallflowers on this podcast, listener, you know, how mad we get, how pissed off we get
when they edit things out. Yes.
When they edit things out. But I do think that there is a difference between, like, how much do we change with the times? Yeah. And I don't know, in this case, my opinion is that, like, because it was happening at the same time, and because it was really just a matter of, like, bad timing when this book first came out, that this was included, I feel like it could have. But I also see the argument for, like, this is what it is, we're going to acknowledge it, and then we're going to do better in the future, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point of, like, the timing of it all. Just, and then, like, also, are there, like, readers out there who have a different experience of it and are, like, trying to figure that out for themselves? And what do they do with that work? But this would be my final argument, is Frankie is someone who thinks critically about the world around her and, like, engages with what it means to care about words. Like, that is repeatedly said, that she and Ren care about what words mean. Mm-hmm. And so then for her to ignore the context of it all doesn't align with that characterization.
I think it's interesting because, like, just from a, if Frankie is a real person, like, I think that I don't think there's anything wrong with still enjoying the Harry Potter series and still enjoying that, like, privately and, like, with your friends. I think that, you know, it gets tricky once you, like, are seen to kind of endorse it or, like, spread its reach publicly.
Yes.
So, like, as a person, Frankie doing this all pretty much privately, but then she's not a real person, right? Like, it's a book.
Yes, there are levels to it. Yeah.
Levels and levels and levels.
Levels and levels and levels. Can I take this into, like, a weird tangent now?
Yes, absolutely.
And I texted you about this, but they make some, like, blatant literary reference mistakes and drive me bonkers. You can't list all of the King Shakespeare's and miss Henry the Sixth. There are three Henry the Sixths, and the Sense and Sensibility plot is wrong. That's Pride and Prejudice. So
Sorry, Chloe does make a lot. She juggles a lot, and some of the balls fall. Most of the time, she's got it, but
she does.
She's got the spirit.
But Ren is like, oh my god,
it's oh my god, you know all of them.
Yes.
It is funny, though, because her next series is Shakespeare retellings. I didn't find them as, like, warm and cozy as I did.
Okay, so then I'm not. Yes, I was looking for warm, cozy, learning to love yourself through this book kind of experience that you do.
There was, like, somehow, and I don't know how much of this was colored by my just, like, knowledge of publishing, but it felt very clear to me. One of them, Chloe, was in control of the whole series. Like, there's a certain softness to a lot of self-published books that I don't think traditional publishing has been able to replicate, because they tend to, like, I guess, like, the commercial nature of it and, like, the capitalistic nature of it just ends like there's just the Berkman brothers just felt more cozy. It felt a little bit more like fan fiction, but not like, it didn't read like fan fiction, but sort of that feeling that fan fiction gives you of just like, you're just like, here's a person that just, like, loves this world and wants to tell you this story about this world. And that's what self-publishing often encaptures better, whereas traditional publishing is like, because it has so much more influence of someone who's trying to make a profit. Like, self-published people are obviously trying to make a profit, they're trying to make money off their work, as they should, but they're kind of the only one involved in that wants to make a profit. Like, even if they have an editor, that person's being paid, like, regardless of whether this book makes money. But traditional publishing is all, like, everyone is affected by whether the book makes a profit. And I feel like that adds, like, not a sterile nature. I feel like it sounds like I'm, like, being really harsh on traditional publishing, but it just feels like there's, like, a difference.
I think that is so interesting. And now you're getting my brain going on. I was thinking a lot about pacing in this book and how gently it's paced, but not to its own detriment. Like, it unfolds the way that the characters need it to unfold, because so much of their work is interior, not exterior. Right. And I don't know if that would have happened. Like, would we have gotten a different plot structure? Would we have gotten a lot? Would we have gotten more tropes? Like, would we have just jammed them in? Because I think something that I like about Chloe Lacy is she starts with a trope. She starts with Grumpy Sunshine, but she doesn't make it all-encompassing. There's, like, freedom there to play with the genre and take it somewhere new. And still be romance, and still end in a happy ever after, and still have the core conflict be the relationship, but it's gentle. Yeah. Like, I think you used the word gentle, and there's, like, a softness there.
Yeah, there's not really, like, an external plot in this. Like, the romance is the plot.
And the romance is the plot. And even, I could see a world in which, like, if this were traditionally published, maybe Frankie leaving the team is more of a heightened stake, rather than she had already decided to leave the team. She had already applied to law school. The acceptance came right away. There were no barriers on the team. Darlene was cool with it. Like, Darlene is like, you dated with me.
I would.
I would. Why wouldn't you? Girl, get your bag. But, like, emotionally, not
actually. I mean, you know what? Financially, too. If you got to deal with, like, the aftermath of TBIs, you should financially the back as well.
Yes, exactly. You should go to law school and financially support you guys. But I think it's, yeah, those things would have been heightened. Maybe there would have been like more tension outside the relationship. And this was just so focused on like Frankie coming into her own inside of a relationship, not just on her own, like that second act of her own personal development.
Yeah. And her learning to like trust that someone can take care of her without her being a burden to them.
Yes, exactly. And that, yeah, that reframing of that she's not a burden, like she is a whole person and she can say that. And I love that she says that at the beginning where she's like, I am this. And then you see as she's in this new environment, those like new contexts make you kind of realize places where you're a little bit more raw or a little bit more tender, and you have to confront that on your own. I thought that was beautiful. And I think even the line Ren said when I think they're having the fight in the hospital room is, we take care of each other. It's not me taking care of you. You're also taking care of me.
Yeah.
In the way that she shows love by making sure his family goes to his games and being there for Ziggy and all of these things, that like she can translate her strength into loving this other person.
Yeah.
Like she loved her friends. And like that was another off page growth moment for her.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, and then I went to therapy and I was all
and
good.
And then I went like, to therapy. You know what? Sure.
There's 45 minutes left. That's fine.
Yeah. It's romance. And it was 3 weeks of therapy. I cannot imagine my therapist. It's like, here's this thing I've been hiding from you for months. And let's fix it. Right
let's
now.
unpack this, because your girl is missing out on the orgasms that I was getting.
Yes, exactly. And Ren was there. Like, that is my experience with it.
Yeah, I feel like the fact that this happens over the playoffs, I feel like the playoffs and like the Stanley Cup and like would have had more stakes. Like maybe like Ren's going to get traded if they don't win the Stanley Cup or like something, like, you know what I mean? Like that would definitely, the outside factors would have been heightened.
Or even Maddox. Like Maddox was like such a jerkwad at the beginning and then he just kind of went away.
Yeah, I kept expecting, I swear to God, when I first read this book, that there was a scene near the end where he did something. Maddox is one of the hockey team members, and he's like the classic like douchebag sexist like workplace sexual harassment guy. I swear to God there was going to be a scene, there was something at the end, near the end, but there wasn't. Like he got the flu.
Gave everybody the flu. Exactly. And there was like a line where it's like, oh, he's just gonna get traded anyways. And I'm like, but like, what if Maddox was the one leaking the photos of them to the press? It's just things like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't think it was necessarily like, I think there's an argument to be made for both angles. Yes. And it's just like a different way.
There's just
it's a different story.
Totally. Looping it back to do we need more of the Bergman family in this book to understand where Ren comes from being a bit of a black sheep. I wanted a little bit more. I keep saying like, I want to know what Ren feels, but I do, about like his family not coming to the games and like, how does he actually feel about that? It made me so sad and it made Frankie really sad. And I want to know, how did that impact Ren? What did it feel like for him to see his parents in the stand?
Yeah, we didn't get that at all. We didn't even get her bringing them to the game. Like, she's like, I'm going to bring them to the game. And then, like, we cut to, like, after the game where he's like, thanks for bringing my parents to the game.
Yes. And then he explicitly says, I'm done talking about my sister. Let's have sex now. And I'm like, no, but I'm wondering about your parents. I mean, fair enough. She is naked in a bathtub. Like, let's be honest. We'd all have the same reaction.
Like, I get it, but...
Is there anything that stood out to you that you either really loved or didn't resonate with you?
A much less serious note. I'm obsessed with the fact that Ren has a minivan, and I really appreciated the minivan like love that this book gave, because I love minivans and I think that they're so underappreciated and people dunk on them, but I'm like, they're ideal.
They're so handy. Also, you can get like the movie screens in the back, which we love. I don't know, maybe that's like a leftover thing from the 2000s, because I guess we have our phones now, but
there's
still
that.
The height of luxury to me.
Our minivan growing up, we had to buy like separate TV things that strapped to the back of the front seat.
We had that too.
And then like plugged into like the cigarette lighter, like whatever port.
Yeah. We did that too. I watched Shark Tales a lot and Princess Diaries too.
Yes.
No, and I love that because it made sense that like Ren is like so community oriented and always has people around him, like his team and his club, or his Shakespeare club and his family that like, and all of his gear. He carries his own gear. He doesn't make assistants do it. Yeah. We love that.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm going to be honest. I was expecting, I don't think we got this, but I was expecting part of there to be a little comment where he was like that he got it. Maybe in part for Frankie, because minivans are more like disability friendly. Like they're easier to get into and out of.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't, but I was like, was that in the back of your mind? Soren Bergman?
Well, because he's like obviously thinking too about like, because they have the thing about thinking about children in the backseat and like just making it easy for her to like get kids in and out of too, rather than like a bench seat.
Yeah.
I love them.
They're so soft. They're so soft.
They're just so soft and cuddly.
They're such a soft couple. They last.
They'll last. And they even just have the lines about how, like, we're going to continue to grow together. And, like, we're going to continue to love each other best. And I'm like, this is, like, you're young, but you have your head screwed on straight. Yeah. You have it figured out.
You are just going to make love in the A-frame all night long.
I don't want to see what a black light would reveal in that apartment.
Oh, God, no. They have healthy communication. Like, they're off to the fucking races. Like, we're going to communicate, be honest with each other. And I'm, like, blown away, like, in the shockwave. Like, I feel like fucking Neo in The Matrix, like, dodging the bullets. I'm like, what is this?
Whoa.
Like, well-adjusted, emotionally mature people who are younger than me.
They have boundaries and they're like communicative about they're curious about each other. I think like that is the piece for me where it's like they've known each other, but they're still curious about each other.
And they're always, and just like Ren is a disability boyfriend, like it's just so lovely because he's so much like, I'm not gonna say, like, he doesn't ask for credit. So like, listen to the first, like, near the beginning, the first time they sort of like hang out, Frankie's high on weed and like he comes over to get her a new shirt because Max, the like workplace sexual harassment man, got like beer all over her shirt or whatever, and Ren brings over a new shirt that has like magnetic buttons because he's like, they're easier for you because so like you don't have to like button. And like he did that like without even, like, he doesn't even know. I don't think he even knows she has rheumatoid arthritis at this point. Like, he knows she has a disability.
I think he knows about the rheumatoid arthritis. Okay. Because there's a line later in the book where he's like, when I found out about RA, I did some like research.
Okay. Okay. So he does know that.
That he like quietly did the research. Again, out of curiosity for like her and her experience. And was like, I thought you might like this. Not like, here's this thing that I think that is awesome for you. He's just like, what do you think?
Hey, I got your shirt laundered and I also got you a new shirt. And then he lets her discover. He's like, if she wants to like say, like, I got you a new shirt. That's the only important thing. And if you want to be like, oh my God, it's like a magnetic shirt. So fucking cute.
I love that.
We do get times when like he definitely internally questions a lot of, like, he's definitely not as sure footed as he seems from Frankie's POV. like there's one point when she's like telling him something, I forget what it's near the end, she's telling him something and he thinks that she's gonna like break up with him and he like catastrophizes or whatever.
I love that moment where he was like, oh my God, are you gonna break up with me? Because it's like so human.
I was like, it's me. Anytime someone's like, we need to talk. And I'm like, oh my God, what did I do?
Exactly. Anytime I get a Slack, I'm like, oh my God, is this the day?
Oh my God, the number of times, like every time I would get a message from someone who was like, not even my boss, just someone who was like higher up than me. And like, I'd be like, I can't open that right now. I can't deal with it. Nope. And like 99% of the time it was like, hey, that was a good idea that you had. Or like,
exactly.
Hey, could you send me this file?
Yes. But it's totally, but your brain goes there and is like, this is when it all falls apart. Yes, exactly.
This is when they see that I am a fraud.
Yes. They're going to figure out that I am stupid.
Yes. And I also like back to the him just like paying attention to her, yeah, and like doing research and like therefore knowing that like there's this one scene where he's like, she like coughs or something and it's just like allergies. Mm-hmm. It's not at the end when she literally has pneumonia and she's like, it's allergies, but like in the beginning he's like, oh my god, are you sick? Like, your meds, they weaken your immune system. And she's like, how do you know that? And he's like, it's common knowledge. She's like, no, it isn't.
It is not. And he's like, Frankie, my dad's a doctor. Exactly. As if that explains.
It's like, okay.
An oncologist. Yeah.
Sure. Your dad's an oncologist. Like, I was like, my mom's a physicist. I don't know how to make a fucking A-bomb. Like, it's not the one-to-one correlation, Ren.
No. You but it would dweeb. Be an incredible movie if you did. No.
I'm Oppenheimer, actually.
You are Oppenheimer.
Based on my life story.
You are God, destroyer of worlds. Like, yeah. Oh no. And it goes that he's just like endlessly curious, does not tout it. He doesn't like come to her and be like, I did all this research about you, and like coming to her and telling her what her experience is. He just has it in his back of his mind to know.
And like, I don't know whether I could be that humble. I don't know whether I could. Like, I'm just like, I don't know whether I wouldn't be like, no, I want the acknowledgement.
Well, because it's so interesting, because I think there is a world where just as a human being, like, could we be humble? But also within the world of like a romance novel, if it wouldn't be written as like a showing you care thing in a different way, where it's like, you have to be like verbose about it. And like that he does it so just for himself is so key to who he is. Yeah.
They're both acts of service people. They're like not words of affirmation. Well, maybe Ren's a little bit words of affirmation, but like Frankie is absolutely like acts of service, and Ren does that really well.
Their love languages match up perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I pause for 1 second? I have to pee so bad.
Please.
I was like, I need to do some like Kegels or whatever the fuck
Kegels.
It is. Do some calisthenics, some pelvic floor. Shit.
I know. I feel like I hit my mid-20s and I just started falling apart.
I was like, oh, fuck. Shit. Mm-hmm. The adult diapers are going to come sooner than I expected.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was so sure of myself when I was 5 years younger, and now I've been deeply humbled by my body. Also, I can have a single beer, and that is my limit. Like, anything after that, I feel gross.
Yeah. No, I can't do it. I can't. No drinks. I can have like one cocktail, that's it, and I'm outie, and then it's migraine time.
Yes. I will say I found a really good non-alcoholic IPA, and that has been my lifesaver.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
Listeners, Atlantic Brewing Company, their hazy tastes like a regular IPA. Their NA IPA does not taste like a real IPA. Do the hazy.
Okay.
Not paid for by Atlantic. just really.
If you guys want to sponsor us, I would not mind. Like, any brand that's ever listened to this, if you guys want to sponsor us. So Frankie has to move into Ren's house at that point, because her house gets broken into. So like, they come home and like her front door is unlocked, and they both immediately like, her house has been broken into. Ren's like, get back in the car. We're going to go downstairs. We're going to call the police. And I cannot imagine having that level of self-assurance, because my first assumption would be, oh, I'm such a dum-dum. I forgot to lock the door. And so I walk in and probably get shot by the fucking burglar. Like,
exactly. I am the same. There was one time I went to my apartment and the light was on, and I was like, I don't remember this leaving this on. So I like went downstairs and made someone go in for me and look through my apartment. Like, I threw someone into dangerous path, because I'm like, this seems sketchy, but like, I'm not going to be the one to figure it out. We're gonna bring someone new.
Just walk in,
walk in. There's a kitchen knife. It's fine.
It's fine. I had a black belt in karate in the third grade. I'm sure I remember some of that.
Exactly. I could do self defense. No, I can't. I do yoga. No. Like, that is the limit. That is the opposite.
Oh, yeah. No. Yoga with Adrienne is my girl.
Oh, beautiful.
But yeah, no, that so I literally had okay, so I studied abroad in London, and the like whole study abroad cohort went on like a trip to Germany for the weekend. Like that was like the trip, the bonding trip they like arranged for us. That was like part of the cost of studying abroad. Me and my roommates, we get home and our front door is open. Like it's a, like ajar. And we were like, what?
That's not good.
And so what we think ended up happening was that like, so they had like cleaning people come in every week. And I know how this is gonna sound that I'm like, oh my God, the cleaning people are so annoying. Well, like I'm gonna sound like so, but like genuinely, they didn't do a good job. We multiple times were like, can we just clean our, can we just change our sheets ourselves? Like, can you just drop off? Like, if you insist on like giving the new, like, can you just drop off the sheets and then we will do everything ourselves? Like, because they would like wake us up, whatever. And then they left our door unlocked, which they would do. They would like, and they would like bolt the front door of the building so that they could come in easily. And I was like, I understand why you're doing this, but it's like, whatever. So they left
But
our
it's a
door
public
unlocked.
safety.
One of my roommates at the time studying abroad, who was in the Air Force and then was like also getting her degree. But she, because she was still in the Air Force, like she was like a, I don't know, she had like a leadership position. She wasn't just like a grunt. She had like sensitive information. She had like a government laptop with like
Oh my
sensitive
gosh.
information on it. And she literally, like, we're sitting in front of like the study abroad panel trying to convince them to like give us a partial refund and like make all these adjustments because like they fucked us over. And she sits there, like she's like quiet the whole time. She's like sitting in the back. And like they, it doesn't seem like they're listening to our very reasonable requests and like all our evidence. And she leans forward and she was like, so like to be clear, you're not gonna do blah 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 blah. And they're like, yes. And she's like, okay, I just could you send that to me in writing? Cause I just need to send that to like General XX of like the US Air Force. Cause like he needs to know why his like military United States military information is being compromised by like
Oh
you
my
blah blah
gosh.
blah blah blah. She, because she
What a
was like,
mic
and I mean
drop.
she literally did, she was like, I will get the US military involved if you guys don't stop fucking with us. And you
Good
know, and
for
like they
her.
gave us most of the stuff, and they even they specifically like gave her a safe to like put
Good.
her laptop in.
Yes.
But she was just like, okay, here's what we're gonna do.
I'm gonna bring in the literal force of the United States, like Air
She's
Force of
like,
the United
okay, you want to fight? Bet. Let's
States.
go.
Bet we've got planes.
Yeah.
I cannot get over how dismissive they are of people's safety.
No, they
That
were
is.
so, they were like, oh, we're so sorry, it won't happen again. And she was like, we're like, we were gone for a whole weekend and the door was open.
There
So,
are
like, this is a
hostels with better
problem.
security.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
that would have freaked me out. See, that would just freak me out. This is a side question. I'm now thinking of it. Did Millie, which is Ren's friend at the front desk who kept messing with Frankie's car, did she break into Frankie's apartment to throw them together?
Well, okay, if she did, because she stole some shit, because like Frankie didn't just have her house broken.
No. What was wild to me was like, they stole her TV, her computer screen, and then her clothes. And the clothes was the thing that like stood out to me. It was
Was
like,
just so
that feels
random.
odd. Yeah, that doesn't seem valuable.
Was it Millie the secretary, the
Was it
matchmaking
Millie, the
secretary?
secretary? He was like, I know what'll bring these kids together. Breaking and entering.
Violence. A
Violence.
crime.
Truly something that would traumatize someone, having their sacred space violated.
Oh my God.
I am choosing in my brain that Millie did it and then quietly
Millie did
returned
it.
everything.
Millie is secretly, well, yeah, like, yeah, Millie did it. And Millie was like, and I do it again.
I would do
I do
it
it again.
again. We're doing it in the name of love. She's like, how much money did Frankie have to pay in getting her car constantly
Oh my
fixed
God.
because Millie kept messing
Right.
with her spark plugs?
Right. Oh, right. So do we think she was doing it the whole time? Because she does it.
Yes.
We know she does it the one time with the spark plugs because Frankie like fixes it. Because Frankie is like a girl who knows how to deal with her cars, which I very much respect and I'm very envious of. But like, do we? So we think it was just Millie the whole time. Millie pouring like stuff into her gas tank to make it function.
Yes. I'm choosing to believe that Millie is a chaos agent who
the
just
mastermind.
Really just has seen Ren suffer pining after this girl. And the second she saw Frankie do a double take after bumping into him, she was like, it is time to shine.
Yeah, absolutely. She's the one that planted in Frankie's mind to go to law school. Cause like part of the reason they can't be together is because they're like coworkers and they're also like wholesome and good. And like, Ren's always like, I don't want to put you in like a position where you're uncomfortable. And like, as much as like on this podcast, we are very much like, don't ask people out when they're at work, like don't do like worst place to do blah, blah, blah. I was like, she's living in his house and he's like, I can't tell her how I feel until she gets out, until she like moves out again so that like she won't be uncomfortable. I was like, I get it. That's a good thing for you to do.
Yes.
But God damn it. Just tell her. Yes, Millie in the second. Me and Millie are the same.
Yes, I am. Is it Oliver's the hopeless romantic who loves romance novels? Or is that Vigo?
Vigo, because he hasn't had a book yet. Vigo's book isn't out yet. Yeah,
is he? He's the last one.
He's the last one. Yes. Yeah,
but he would have been like, tell him right away, tell her right away. And that is me. I'd be like, what do you mean holding something inside of you and not saying it the instant?
Excuse me.
What do you mean not talking and speaking impulsively?
What do you mean being respectful of her boundaries?
Yeah. What do you mean understanding the different contexts of power that are at play and how she needs to have autonomy and cannot be trapped at work or at home?
Yeah.
That's like good for you.
So now that you bring up Millie, I'm starting to really unravel, I feel like, what her whole mastermind plan is. So I think also, so she realized that they were both too like noble and like good people. They weren't going to violate HR. So she starts planting the seeds for Frankie to like, to go to law school, become a sports agent so that she leaves the team. Now she's breaking down Frankie's car to like get them together. She then breaks into Frankie's house. Finally, she's like, these two fuckers, like they need one more push.
Yes.
She breaks in to like one of those labs where they store like extinct diseases.
Oh my God.
She injects Max, the sexual harassment.
Oh my God, player, yes.
With one of these diseases. Yes. He gets half the team sick, including Frankie. Now, listen, Millie did not anticipate that Frankie would need to be hospitalized because of this, but like, it's okay. She survived. So, like, it's fine. But she's like, we need a sick bed scene. She's like, I know what'll do it. A sick bed scene, always. Always.
These two. And do you think she was behind Ren's concussions as well? Do you think she paid off the number 27 to trip him up?
Because he's
so that
really has it out for Ed.
He really has it out. And so I wonder if Millie slipped him 100 and was
Millie's
like
slipping it through the glass, like, you know what to do.
You know what to do. Ooh. He needs to be incapacitated so Frankie can understand what it is to take care of him.
Yeah.
And say something when he's not listening.
Well, so we get that classic, like, you're denying your feelings, but then the person is in danger and you realize that you can't live without them. She's like, these fuckers are so stupid. Yeah. Like, I have to do everything myself.
Exactly. I have to do everything myself.
She walks away. She learns about this because she's in a book club with Vigo. Her and Vigo are in romance book club. And Vigo's like, my brother's such a, Vigo doesn't realize that she's a secretary. He's like, my brother's so stupid. He's like in love with this girl that he works with. And she's like, don't worry. Mission accepted.
Yes, I am there, and we're gonna play out every romance novel trope there is in the background. Mm-hmm. I would love, if this ever gets adapted, a supercut at the end of Millie doing all of this, like monk style, where it's like, how do they do the crime? And it's Millie and Vigo with like a whiteboard mapping everything out, and then this is how I did it.
Millie, like that scene in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the Pepe Sylvia scene where she's like,
exactly. Oh my God.
That's it. It's Millie. She's the mastermind.
It's Millie. She's the mastermind. Talk about a standard for the other. I know.
Wow. I can't believe I didn't put that together until now. Thank you so much for bringing this to the attention.
I mean, and they say she's only a part-time secretary, so she has so much time.
Right. What does she do? What does she do every time? She's a matchmaker.
She is. And this one is her pro. This is her pro bono for the year.
Yeah.
She just was getting really frustrated.
And listen, that also kind of makes sense because I'm thinking, I'm like, does she have possibly like a sidekick? And I was thinking possible like possible sidekick option, Chris Harrison. But like then Chris Harrison, you know, revealed his super racist side. So she was like, I can't work with you anymore, Chris.
Nope.
But I'm thinking like she still has a lot of that sort of like bachelor strategy because there is that one scene when Frankie is doing yoga with Franzino, whatever. I don't know, Italian, Fabio, whatever.
Or something
whatever
like
his
that.
Name is.
Fabrizio,
yeah. She's doing yoga and then like Ren comes in and they're doing like hot, sexy tantric yoga. And I was like, this is a bachelor date. And it was only heightened by the fact that the yoga's man's name was like Fabrizio or whatever, because of that recurring character on like recent seasons of the Bachelor franchise of that guy who's allegedly a photographer that also has a silly Italian name like that.
Yes.
They're like, world renowned photographer, like whatever.
Yes.
And you're like, okay. And he just like comes on every season.
Exactly.
I was like, this is a bachelor date. This is a bachelor. Chloe, you cannot tell me that you were not watching The Bachelor while writing this.
Exactly. And Millie is truly the executive producer that we all need. Somebody get her a television show. Like, I love that.
I love it.
I love it so much. Her now a scene of her paying off Fabrizio.
Yeah.
Fabrizio being a fake Italian. For some reason, then he's not
Fabrizio
Italian.
Doing a long con in which he gets into Frankie's good grace. He learns Italian. Fabrizio's like sitting in front of a Rosetta Stone course being like, I gotta get there. It's like, ciao, mamma mia.
Duolingo. Yes.
Yeah. You're the Duolingo owl standing behind him with like a ruler being like, and how do you, can I go to the bathroom?
How do you say down dog? Oh
yeah.
So to go off tangent now too, I wanted to talk to you about the playlist and having a song because I will preface this by saying in 2022 half of my Spotify Wrapped was songs from her books.
Oh my God.
I discovered a lot of great music through her.
Oh my God.
But I've seen it then pop up in other books. I think Tessa Bailey did it.
Yes. In one of her books. This is a common thing.
Did it work for you? Did it not?
It felt very. So a lot of times with the playlist thing, the problem is like the author oftentimes creates the playlist, but it's always on Spotify and I don't have a Spotify, so I can never actually appreciate like the actual.
Yes. Playlist.
But I felt like it felt very like it was, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's there. I feel like it makes sense. There's a Abby Jimenez book, The Happy Ever After playlist, which I don't know. Have you read Abby Jimenez?
I only read the one that had to do with domestic violence. I haven't read any others.
I fucking love her. But her second book is called The Happy Ever After playlist and has the songs, but that's the only one of her books that like has those songs. But it makes sense because of the title, because the hero is like a musician, like.
Yes.
So I feel like it works when it like makes, it's something that I see very often in self-published. I feel like it happens more commonly in self-published books.
I was going to say there are ones I don't mind it. It doesn't take me out of it. I was thinking more of it like, is this like additive or is this just like, does it tell me something about the characters, the author, or does like enhance the reading experience or not? And the songs she chooses are so vibey and we never know anything about the characters' like sartorial choices ever. Like in this, like we know what they like to read, but we don't know like, what does Frankie like Italian pop? Does Frankie like emo music? Like, I want to know. And for me, like this book, it was just like vibey and I didn't mind that at all. I liked it. I know. Yeah. I think it's Ever After Always. Some of the songs that are happening like in the chapter, like there's a karaoke scene and like that's the song at the beginning. And then
that makes
that
sense. Has, like,
there's more of an interplay that like is intentional. I'm surprised they kept it when they republished it.
Yeah. It's interesting because I forget. I literally just finished this book and I'm already like, does she include the lyrics or is it just like the song name of the artist? Okay.
Just
so I was thinking, from like a publishing standpoint, I think the one of the reasons that this happens a lot more in self-publishing is because they a lot of times authors do tend to like include a line or two of lyrics, and legally, like that's not illegal, that's not like hard copyright infringement, but it is very legally gray. And I know from like a publishing perspective, I would have authors all the time want to just like throw in song lyrics, and they're like, it's okay, I'm just quoting like two lines. And I'm like, yeah, but like fair use is so like song lyrics are so legally iffy. Like it's so you can make a case either way. And I'm like, unless it is like vital for you to like quote this, we do not need it. And so like, I know from a publishing standpoint, it's like the default is generally like, no, like don't include these song lyrics.
I think it's also one of those things where as I was thinking about it more, the music obviously means something to the author, but it doesn't necessarily mean something to the character. And that's why I'm like, I could go either way, unless it's like the Tessa Bailey book where it's like this person like chooses music for a movie. Where I'm like, this was this just your writing playlist? Or was this like...
It was, I feel like a lot of times it is a writing playlist. And I think that probably has to do again with self-publishing because... I mean, the lines are a lot more blurred now, but self-publishing always involved much more of like a parasocial relationship with the author, because like in order to promote your book as a self-published author, like you need to have that social media presence and like you need to sort of market yourself. Whereas like that's not as much the case with traditionally published. And so like releasing, like, here's my writing playlist, like here's a playlist for this book, here's the Pinterest board for this book, like here's all of that. And so I can see it being like, well, I already have these songs. Like, I might as well, like, put that in the book. Yeah.
Totally. And I suppose, like, if you're to the point then of, like, she's establishing herself, like, within traditional publishing now, like, keeping that for the fans of the book so you don't lose it as you translate them makes sense.
Yeah.
This is when you had said that earlier, like, how much of it is it? How much of this is the author versus the character? And this is one where it felt like the author, not in a bad way, and in a way that felt very 2020. I think that's part of it too. I think because 2020 was such a like a huge year,
I'm definitely seeing that. Like, it's, I feel like the books being published right now, 2020 to even, like, I mean, we haven't seen too much of 2024 yet, but certainly 2020 to 2023, I feel like they're going to be dated a lot quicker than books in previous years.
Yeah. There's a lot of like cultural references that are being added into, like, I feel like especially romance. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, I don't know if it's going to stand up as well.
No. Because I do think we went through writers, we went through a period in like in the literary mind consciousness of understanding that like when you include a lot of cultural references, it ages your book really quickly. Yeah. So like, don't try not to do that unless it's like absolutely vital. And now, yeah, we're kind of seeing like the backlash kind of like going in the opposite direction again.
Yeah, exactly. And I think so much of it too is like, there is such a feedback loop with book talk, and like, I feel like publishing being baked into TikTok and TikTok shaping the culture is like that line is a lot more blurry than if you can separate it from traditional media, where, and you have to build your audiences, and your audiences are going to go wild for it at the beginning. But like, how much of that is sustainable?
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, are you sacrificing your backlist potential for first month sales? And like, for anyone out interested in being an author out there working in publishing, you make most of your money from your backlist. That's where the money comes in. So you always want to be more focused on your books having a long shelf life, even if it's like a long shelf life of moderate sales is a lot better than like New York Times bestseller the first 2 weeks and then like no sales for the rest of, like, you always want the moderate sales.
Exactly. Going TikTok viral is maybe not going to be the thing that like sets you up for long-term success.
Listen, but it could. Right. It certainly has established many, many authors' careers.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying if you got to make the choice, you always want the book that sells like 100 copies every week is going to be way better for your career and way better just financially, because you'll consistently get a check.
Exactly. And then you build like an engaged, it's so much work in marketing. It's so much more cost effective to like retain a customer than it is to get a new one.
Yes.
Like I will buy anything Sarah McLean publishes. And her stuff, I mean, I guess in her case, it's historical, but she writes in a very contemporary voice. Like it works.
Yeah. Sarah McLean is very much not the traditional historical romance author.
Very much to her credit. I love it.
Yeah.
But I even think about this is so one of the first romance series that I like really fell in love with was Nora Roberts' The Bride Quartet.
Mm-hmm. You've recommended that's been on my TBR for so long. I haven't read it yet. Yeah.
I don't even know if it's good, but like to the point of this conversation, I think she ended it in like 2011. Maybe it was like 2007 to 2011. It's like of its time in that like early Obama era recession core kind of thing. But it like feels like it translates well.
Yeah.
Except for one thing. It drives me insane. She was all in on Blackberries. And by the time you get to the end of the series, nobody used a Blackberry anymore. But she had set that precedent.
Oh, no. Everyone had a Blackberry.
And everybody had a Blackberry. So I don't know where I was going with this tangent. But basically, be careful.
Cultural references.
Cultural references.
Especially really technology. Especially technology.
If this thing called the iPhone comes out just as you're publishing your book, just don't. Just call
it a phone.
Cell phone.
She just has phone. A phone. That's all
she
you
has a
need.
Phone. She has a smartphone. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Everybody should read the Bride Quartet series.
Yeah. So. One of the things I also thought was funny. So Frankie is Italian, brought up a lot, and she like at one point, she's like, I thank the patron saint of sexual intimacy. Like I don't know who that is, but like the Catholics have a patron saint for everything, so like there must be one. And I of course was like, really? And so. So there is no okay, and I if you're very Catholic and you're listening to this podcast, I and you probably know more than me, more than I did not go past like the second page of Google search results, so like I did not look too in depth at this, but there is no patron saint of sexual intimacy, and there's not even a patron saint of sex insofar as like sex, like positive feelings about sex. There's a lot of patron saints about like not being lustful, and like patron saints of like reformed sex workers. And you could argue that Mary Magdalene is the patron saint of sex because she is a former sex worker, but it's still within the context of like resisting sexual desire. So there's not.
See, okay. So I am not religious, but I worked part-time in a church bookstore in college. It was like an unofficial bookstore.
We both went to Catholic university. Neither of us are Catholic, but
no. I am very proudly a lapsed Catholic. But people would come in and be like, do you have a patron saint for illness? And we would all have to be like, you need to be more specific. Like what kind of illness? And it was a running bit that like you have to drill down. So I would like to challenge the readers. Is there a patron saint of like sexual organs? Like that would be,
is there a patron saint of like clitorises?
Like clitorises, like vaginas.
Okay.
I don't know. Like because the Catholic, leave it to the Catholics to make it about like reproduction and like populating the source.
Oh, always. Yeah.
But like I'm sure there's some way to get around the shaming women for having bodies and urges and desires. By focusing on
I feel like because there was like a lot, there were a lot of blog posts that were like, here are this patron saints you should pray to if you're like trying to overcome porn addiction, and I was okay, that's not quite what I'm
as we
for.
Do no sorry,
it's like that, not it, close,
no.
Close,
the
but
opposite,
not quite.
Yeah, we're looking for the inverse, but
yeah that was just a tangent. I was like, I yeah, listener, if you if you know more about Catholicism than either of us, I would love to know. I would love to know.
I found that to be delightful when she's like Saint Francis of Assisi and all of his like little animals. Like I love that. I was like, that's so on brand. And I like the light sacrilegium. Like just I love that Italian Catholic vibe in New York.
Oh,
City.
That's it's yes. So that like not so yes. much Christian anymore.
No, that is purely cultural. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I also love another thing, just another small thing, the fact that Ren, once Ren has been deflowered, their morning routine is, first of all, he has a heated mattress pad, which heated mattress pads are amazing. Like electric, so amazing. Like, I'm a sweaty sleeper, but this was still, I was like, this is the coziest I've ever been in my entire life.
I had to equate it. So I am the hottest person ever soon as I get into bed. I am like, pushing everything away.
Yes.
And so my clothes wouldn't be a cooling mattress pad. I would like find that to be like mind-blowing experience if I woke up one morning and my boyfriend was like, surprise, our bed goes cooling.
Oh. That would be, I mean, yes, I am a sweaty sleeper. Like, I need, the heat needs to be off. The fan is on. I only wear a t-shirt to bed. I like do not know. Like, I have a cooling pillow.
Yes, my year living in Germany where I did not have air conditioning and I could not control my temperature, I was the angriest, crankiest person. Oh, I sleep with my AC on year round, which I know is horrible for the environment.
Oh, wow.
But in New York City apartments, we can't control our heat. It's just like on or off.
Yeah. When I was in Queens, I couldn't have an air conditioner unit in my window because it was to the fire escape. And so like, you can't block the fire exit. So I didn't have an air conditioning unit in my room. So I just had to rely like on like a little fan next to my bed in the summer. And it was, and I would like blast the air conditioning unit that was like in the living room with like my door open to try to like store up. But it was hard. And then I was the only room with a radiator. The main radiator was in my room. So, but I would turn it off. I would have to turn it off at night. Yeah. And my roommate would be like in her room freezing because I'd have to, like, it's so horrible.
That would be my worst nightmare.
It was bad. But yeah, speaking of, the reason I brought up the bed is because he wakes her up. Her muscles are stiff in the morning. And this was a thing where I was like, do I have rheumatoid arthritis? Because like, sometimes my hands are stiff in the morning. But he wakes her up in the morning with sex to loosen up her muscles. He turns on that little heating pad and then he like gives her an orgasm. I was like, disability king. Like,
acts
incredible.
Of service. Talk about using sex to like deepen your relationship and further the plot.
Yes. This is what I want.
I know. And then he makes her coffee and then they go on a walk on the beach. Like, they are living my best life, except all of this would be taking place at like 12 p.m. Like, I wouldn't be.
Oh, no, right. But then the thing is like, can I go for a walk on the beach in LA at 12 p.m.?
That is. No, I cannot. I can sit in air conditioning. But
here's what I could do is I could stay up until like 4 a.m. The sun is rising. We go for a walk on the beach. Then we rinse our feet off. Then we go back into bed.
Yes.
Then sex, then sleep. So just then like sex, reverse.
Then sleep. And then more sex. And then he brings you coffee.
Yes, exactly.
And oh my God, to the point of him knowing her, he also had memorized her coffee preferences. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this man is down bad and I love it. And there's nothing more romantic to me than a coffee order.
Yeah, it's very cute. That's such like a little thing, like knowing how someone likes their coffee.
So much intimacy and that like one little act. I just keep saying like, that is what I love about Chloe Lacey is like, she can like tap into that just intimacy and that softness so well without it being like overt and being like, this is romance.
Yeah, she's really good at showing instead of telling.
Yes, exactly. The last that I have, because it kept pulling me out, is Frankie was obsessed with how big Ren was. Ren was repeated.
No, I heard Ron. I was like, Ron.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ren. No, Ron. Ren. No, that's my brain shorting out. That's
the end of the day. I probably misheard. Like,
no, wait. I think I said it wrong. Okay. No. Roll the tape. No. I loved that she was the like more sexually active, like hitting on him character. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved that she had a lot of the agency in that.
Yeah.
To the point of like flipping
the gender roles.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, at one point she's like, you're gonna poke someone's eye out.
Yes. It was like almost in a little teenagery.
Damn.
Yes. But it worked for them. It like captured that like giddy feeling of like
I thought it was especially nice because Frankie is autistic and I feel like often like when you have an autistic character, it's like portrayed as someone who's always been very like awkward, but like, yeah, it like balances that nice, like, yes, she's been like hindered by her autism, but she also like specifically is like, yeah, I lost my virginity in the 10th grade. So like,
yes,
I was like, damn, Frankie,
good for
like,
you, girl.
Get it, girl. Yes.
What I liked, and I could be wrong in this because it's not my own experience, but like, sex was never a hold up for her. Like, no. It was never a question of like, what positions are comfortable for her, or like what sensory experience is comfortable for her. Mm-hmm. It's just like, she just loves sex. They just explore each other. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end when they, my last note is at the end when they reunite, he's like, it's always only you, Frankie.
Yes.
And I was like, roll credits.
Yes.
There it is.
I love it. I just like it was done well. Like, it's cute. It works.
I was like,
for
that's
me.
Funny. I do like when the title
appears in the book.
I think it's funny.
Yes. And in this case, like, it's like in a important line, but it's not like the entire thing.
And it's like right at the end. You know what I mean? It's right, just like a, you know, it's like, oh,
yes,
here it is. A little nod.
It's like a little nod, a little payoff.
Yeah. Exactly. Like a wink and a nudge. Yeah.
Yes. I love them. Now I'm going to go continue to read the rest of the series. Like, you have just, like,
as you should. When does Vigo's book come out? I need to look. April 2nd. Yes. Okay, so it's going to be out by the time this episode is out.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and he, I mean, talk about patron saints. He's the patron saint of this podcast. He loves romance novels.
Yes. Yes.
Let's go to the Catskill.
Okay. This book was really interesting for me because Ren is described many a time as having cat-like eyes.
Yes.
Many a time. Like, every other time his eyes are referenced.
Yes.
So many times. He's also described at one point, someone is described as like slipping through like a gap, like a cat slipping through the narrowest part of a door. Like, there's like cat-like, there's like a grumpy cat is referenced.
Cat-like,
and it's mostly Ren.
Ren.
Which is interesting.
Which... Yeah, my argument would be, I was so surprised when Frankie had a dog, because Frankie is a cat person and Ren is a dog person.
But Frankie does at one point, she does at one point think about how she like had a dream of wanting to have a cat.
Yes.
Like when she was independent, but she doesn't have a cat now, but she wants one.
She just likes animals. Yes. And there's that scene where Ren is playing with like baby animals for a charity video and he's like cuddling kittens. Like, I think they're just, aside from the eyes, it's just that like they're so cuddly. I feel like it's more about being an animal
so cuddly.
Than being a cat. Like that those two are, that they're just like warm, not like physically cuddly.
They're
but
just like any animal. Yeah.
They're just like any animal will do. Because I don't understand the cat like eyes references throughout. Because he has like really light blue eyes.
Really
like his
light
mother.
Green. Light green.
Oh, they're
eyes.
Green. I thought they were
that
blue.
That was it. So I could imagine there's
okay.
Like one of my cats has eyes. So I was like, okay, like these are the eyes that I'm picturing.
Yes. Okay.
So, but it was like a contradiction because I feel like Ren didn't really give cat, or like Ren was very much a golden retriever.
Ren is
in a
golden
lot of sense.
Ren is a golden retriever, and Frankie seems more like a cat. Like, she seems
like a black cat. Yeah,
like a black cat,
golden retriever.
Like, you have to like earn her love and her trust.
Yeah,
she's not gonna give it freely.
And like, listen, cats are autistic. We've like established that all cats are autistic.
It's known. Check.
So
yes.
It's known. Yeah.
Yes. No, I had never read a book looking for cat references until we had to for this podcast. And I was like, aha, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
They are.
This one had a lot more than is normal for contemporary romance. I feel like the historicals go really hard on cat references.
Okay. Even Frankie's body, like the way that he talks, sorry, this is now going to like get really weird. The way that he talks about her body being like really long and lithe, and like she's constantly stretching out and stuff. Like, her movements read cat-like to me as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I did think it was interesting that Frankie was tall. I did think that was nice. So that's like specific because of how much we get that Ren is large. Like, it wasn't the like tiny tiny girl and large, large
I'm
man.
Bitty, bitty. No.
Yeah.
I love that. But I will say this is now across a lot of the Chloe Lacey books. I like that, like, she has, like, a lot of representation of different bodies and, like, being loved for those bodies and not exoticized for those bodies.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Bergman is also, Dr. Bergman is, he's amputee.
Yeah.
As well.
He's an amputee.
He has a prosthetic.
It was beautiful that, like, they made the comment, I think, was it maybe Frankie wondering, like, oh, why didn't Ren ever reference that, like, he grew up in an inner-abled household? Like, seeing that.
Yeah.
And Dr. Bergman is like, they just, like, this is what love is to them. Like, they don't even know any different.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's like, he totally could have brought that up to get, like, brownie points with me.
Yes.
And, like, he didn't. And that's why it's so much, that's why Ren's character makes so much sense, that it's just sort of, like, natural. Like, he doesn't really think about that kind of stuff.
Exactly. It's just, like, in his... That's just how he works. It's how he operates.
One of the things that I also liked is that they didn't, in terms of Frankie and Ren having kids, that wasn't an issue.
No.
In terms of, like, whether she's going to be able to be a mom. And so it was nice for her to be like, no, yeah, I want three kids.
Yeah.
Great.
Four
like,
more.
And if they're autistic and have rheumatoid arthritis, then we'll fucking deal with it. Like,
yes.
You know, but it's not even referent. You know what I mean? She doesn't know how to say that. They're just like, yeah.
No,
like,
we both want children. We both want a lot of children. And, like, there's also, like, no reference to, like, what that, like, the pregnancy experience would be like for her either.
Right.
Or, like, handling that with kid gloves, where it's like, oh, is she going to want to be pregnant? They're just like, yeah.
Right. Is she going to be able to handle that? They're like, yeah, we'll make it work.
I want a baby. I have baby fever. Like, I loved that scene for that reason, where they were like, she has baby fever. And it's her baby. Like,
yeah.
I just loved that.
Yeah.
I think coming at it, reading this book, it was just beautiful that it's like it informed it, and there were places where it played out, but there were other areas where it was just like, that wasn't, like, we didn't need to have a conversation with a capital C around every piece of her life.
Right.
It was beautiful.
We got way off the Catskill. How does
we got
Cats
way
really
off the Catskill. I'm so sorry.
No. No, I'm just, that was my way of bringing it back to the cask.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I'm struggling to calculate my reference, because there are a ton of references to him having cat-like eyes, but it is not.
But the vibes were
not
cat.
Cat,
yeah, that's the thing.
people.
This book was very contradictory in terms of vibes versus language.
Yes. This was a dog book. I lean towards, like, a one. Is that
I don't
low?
Know if I can go as
That's
low as, because one is just like, this was a romance book.
Oh,
like,
okay.
No cat whatsoever. Yeah. Side note about Potsa, there's this one scene, the time that they kiss for the first time, they're walking on the beach, and Potsa, they're like throwing the ball for her, and she drops the ball at Ren's feet, and he's like, she dropped the ball at my feet, but, like, I couldn't focus on her because I was too busy kissing Frankie. And I was like, if you don't throw that dog's ball right now,
exactly.
I do not care if you're having your first kiss with the love of your life. You
throw
at the ball when the dog brings it to you.
You have a very special and important contract with that dog. You
like,
must throw that ball. Like, it is your
excuse me.
Throw it really far so she has to run for a while.
Throw it into the ocean. She's got to paddle out. Like, that'll distract her.
She's got to, like, go and swim it and get it. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like, you got to throw that ball. Because my dogs, if we did that, they would just knock us over. They would be like, okay, bark, 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 bark. You want to have a nice moment? That's really cute.
No.
Throw my ball.
That's cute. Okay.
It does not work for me.
Excuse
no.
me. We were in the middle of something.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. In that case, maybe a 2, which I know is still low, but it just does not read as a vibey cat book to me.
It doesn't read. I think I would do a 3 because of the language, and because Frankie is, because I can imagine, like, they're not cat people, but I can imagine them having a cat, and Frankie does have some, like, cat, you know, hybrid things.
Yeah, I think that's justified. I picture them in a minivan with several children and a cat and a dog. Yes, and the cat is definitely black and white.
Tuxedo cat, absolutely.
The tuxedo cat. Although, would she be into a ginger cat?
That's true. Yeah, Frankie is really into gingers, which honestly I appreciated. I was like, me too. Me too, Frankie.
I also love that, like, when her mom gets on the phone with her, she's like, oh my god. Frankie is like, see, I got it from my mom.
She's like, you didn't think I came up with this by myself, right? Like, this is genetic.
Exactly. No, this is ingrained in me.
Okay, so do you want to say, if you say two, I say three. Do you want to say 2.5?
Okay, I'll say 2.5. Yeah.
Okay.
Seed. Two. Yep. 2.5.
2.5, baby. Elodie, do you have anywhere where you would like them to find you or connect with you or read any of your work or experience you in any way outside of this audio format?
I don't. I'm so
You're
sorry.
Like, she's sitting there like silently just like shaking her head. Listen, she's like,
no. I really love my privacy. However, follow me on Goodreads. I love to know what people are reading. Send me all of your good stuff.
Yes. Awesome. As always, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at We Read It One Night, on Twitter at We Read It Podcast. You can email us, wereaditonenight@gmail.com. We asked a lot of questions and we would like some answers in this podcast about patron saints and if you have listener suggestions and all of that. You can email us or DM us. You can also check out our Etsy shop and our patron page, which are linked in the description of this episode. And you can leave us a 5-star rating and review, which obviously you have already done if this isn't your first episode. But if this is your first episode, then you're going to do that right now. Thank you so much for joining us, Elodie.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Godspeed, comrades.
Oh, Godspeed.